Blog Talk Radio.
Generally, the Constitution is a charter of negative liberties, says what the states can't do to you, says what the federal government can't do to you, but it doesn't say what the federal government or the state government must do on your behalf.
Fast on a rough road, riding high.
You didn't build that.
Through the mountains climbing, twisting, turning further from my home.
Shut up your mouth, Mr. Obama. Shut up your mouth, Mr. Obama.
Be young, like a new moon rising, fierce.
I've got a pen.
Through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown.
Yes, we can.
And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't survive, I was born free.
I've got a pen.
I was born free.
And I've got a phone.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Like the grandest canyon, wild, like an untamed stallion. If you can't see my heart, you must be blind.
What difference at this point does it make?
You can knock me down and watch me bleed, but you can't keep no chains on me. I was born free.
I've got a pen.
Anti-government, anti-science, and anti-Obama. They have a trifecta.
Good evening, shipmates, and welcome to the program. I am your captain for this two-hour pleasure cruise, where unfortunately we still have 884 days. Oh, man. They just keep getting longer. Instead of going down, it seems like we're going up. I know we finally broke below the 900 mark. But that seems like that was like an eternity ago. Got 4 hours, 56 minutes, and 46 seconds left of this godforsaken Obama nightmare. Then we got to go to work. But until then, we must remain dedicated to the fight and the preservation of freedom, regardless of the cost. Now, who the hell is calling me at this hour? I forgot to turn this damn phone on that stupid airplane mode. Unbelievable. All right, let me figure this out here. Good God Almighty. This is what happens when all your assistants are at home sick with the flu. You got to do everything by yourself, and you don't know what the hell you're doing. You're an idiot. But that's all right, because I am dedicated to the fight and the preservation of freedom, regardless of that cost. Remember, shipmates, freedom ain't cheap, but we can afford it. It is tyranny that we cannot afford. You want to be a part of the program tonight? Don't be shy. 646-716-7978. You know it as well as I do, as long as there's one liberal on planet Earth. That's all it takes is one. It's a very, very, very busy news day. Well, just, I don't know where we're going to end up tonight. But my God. Somebody please turn this movie off. Huh? Just somebody go upstairs, just take the projector. You see that button, that switch right there? Okay, see, it's now in the up position, which means it's on. So if you take that switch and you push it downward, okay, that turns the son of a bitch off. That's what I need you to do. Will that happen? No. This frickin' movie is going to keep going on and on and on and on and on. Like, what the hell was the name of that movie? You had some people that were all raging over it. Oh, The Talented Mr. Ripley. Ugh. He didn't even use any of his talents that he had. Oh, the talent, he can, what, change his voice? Oh, gee. Oh, shut up. That movie had like 1,000 endings, and it wouldn't stop. It's like, end it. Kill somebody. Do something. I don't know, but end the damn movie. But no. I was with a girlfriend at the time. I was with her. I fell asleep on her shoulders. I woke up, and the son of a bitch is still playing. There wasn't that many people in the crowd. And, you know, we said, you know, I woke up and I said, oh, my God, this thing is, you know, never going to end. And we were all making wisecracks. My girlfriend's nudging me. She's like, oh, just stop, you know. You know, you're in public. Yeah, but everybody else is making wisecracks. Hell, you know. It just, it wouldn't end. And then they were on the train. And they said something like, I'm going to see you next week. And everybody, not just me, but everybody in the theater went, oh, my God, you know, end this thing. So when it finally ended, we were clapping not because it was a good movie, but because it finally ended. And that's what I want to do. When Obama is no more the president of the United States, I want to clap. I want to throw a party where freedom can once again be planted into the ground. And it could grow up, be little freedom trees. Well, that's what we need. I want my freedom back. I like being an American. Baseball, hot dogs, apple pie, and Chevrolet. Praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. That's right. Those days are long gone. I don't know what the hell we call it today. But as long as there's one liberal on planet Earth, it's a very, very busy news day. Well, again, shipmates, tonight is no exception. There's only one way to combat that, and that is to lift our jib and get this freedom shipping away. Ah! God, I love that feeling of getting underway, man. I couldn't wait when I was in the Navy, man. Every time that horn blew, man. Underway! God, I loved it. And I love going out to sea, man. I love the ocean. You either love it or you hate it. That's what I found. I loved it. I fell immediately in love with it. It's one of those things you either do or you don't. And if you do, you are deep in it. And if you don't, you're miserable. But that's whatever. Hate it. There's so much to see out there. Even the less you see with your eyes, the more you actually see. It's beautiful. I love it. Well, anyway, we are headed out to sea, and the bosun may can now shift colors. All right. Before we get into the scuttlebutt of the day, I had to play a little IM tag, or PM tag, they call it now. Not premenstrual, but I guess it means private message with Facebook. Which I like that so much better than that stupid phone. I hate the phone. I hate everything about the phone. I've always hated the phone. Since I was a kid, I've hated the phone. As soon as I graduated high school, I moved out. I didn't have a phone. Of course, I had to go over to my mom's and borrow it, but I didn't want a phone. And then I came out of the Navy, and my brother had one of those big, giant, monster cordless phone. Not cordless, but... what do they call them? Mobile phones, what they call them, whatever. And that thing was huge. Puts it in his pocket, he's walking around like he's, you know, he's Joe Cool. Look at me, I got a big old phone. No, you got a big giant phone booth. Everybody had to have a damn phone. Everybody's walking around acting like they're talking to somebody. Oh, look at me, I'm important. I got a phone. No, you're a jackass. You're about ready to walk into that pole. I always watch people. They're always walking around like a bunch of idiots. Texting and talking on the phone. They're driving. texting and doing all this crap. Nobody pays attention to what the hell they're doing. They got to read the headlines. Headline intelligence. That's all you get out of people. That's it. Headline intelligence. That's who we are in society today. That's what Common Core is going to bring us. Well, it has brought us. A variation of Common Core has been in the school for many years. Many, many years. This New World Order has been in the play for many, many years. There's always been the dream of one organization ruling the entire planet. Why? I don't know. I don't get it. This is why I don't think I'm human. I gotta be part some other kind of animal. I don't know what it is. It's probably extinct. God only knows. But I just have never understood human beings. Why they gotta be so, gotta rule the world. We gotta have the power. But once you have the power over yourself, then you can worry about power over everybody else. Anyway, God almighty, this is what happens. You get off course. Left full rudder, for God's sakes. These PMs, Nancy Rubenstein, she's come on the show a couple of times. Well, she's trying to hook me up with the attorney for Michelle Ryder. We had her on. She's the mother of Isaiah Ryder. Isaiah Ryder is the one that was kidnapped, just like Justina Pelletier, by the DCF and splitting parents up with the children. Now, this is what I think I'm going to ask him. Well, he's trying to get on. Hopefully, he can come on tomorrow. That's what I'm trying to get out. Of course, it takes me forever to get out anything. But we're trying to get him on tomorrow. I got home late today. I had a whole bunch of stuff to do. I finally get home by 3 o'clock. I call. Of course, I left a message. I called again. I still got his machine. That was probably him who was calling. More than likely, that's probably what it was. It was him calling back, but I'm, you know, on here. I should have turned the phone off, but that's me. This is one thing I don't like about cell phones. It took me forever to even get a cell phone. It's not even mine. It just comes with the rent. I hate phones. I hate them. I do like that instant message. Of course, it can be a pain in the ass when you try to work on something and everybody, you get like 14 at the same time and you got to sort of answer and you got all these conversations and then you always answer the wrong conversation to the wrong name. You ever done that? God. People are writing back, what the hell do you say? Oh, jeez. Wrong, stupid conversation. Using all these cuss words and talking to your mom and she's like, what? Oh, no, I'm kidding. But anyway, getting back to Isaiah Ryder, the attorney for Michelle Ryder, trying to get him on tomorrow. I want to find out, these are two questions that I want to ask. Now, I don't know. They're probably stupid questions. But I don't know the law. So I'm going to, if I can talk to him tomorrow before he comes on, if we can get him on, he's hard to get a hold of. Of course, he's busy. He's an attorney. He should be hard to get a hold of. You got an attorney that's always picking up the phone. It's like, dude, you got any business? What are you doing? But here's what I want to know. First of all, these are two legal questions. It's kind of a two-parter, kind of a three or four-parter. There's a two-parter, but the second part has a couple of parts. Unbelievable. But how is it legal, first of all, for or to separate parent and child without an order from the court? Who are these people at the DCF where they can just demand that this child and be separated from its parents? Or not its, but his or hers. How can that be legal, number one, without a court order? It just seems to me that if you're gonna bust into somebody's home, you're gonna bust into somebody's hospital room, you're gonna force a parent out, you're gonna take the child in custody as ward of the state. I don't like that name, ward of the state. What does that mean? You own that child? You put him in a foster home so he can get all raped up and scarred up? I mean, God only knows what the hell they do. If the other kids don't get you, well, then the parents will. Now, I know it's not every foster parent. I know we had a foster home growing up across the street. They were actually good. Mom, you know, she tried to help the guys out a little bit. They could do some work, and, you know, she'd pay them a little bit. They were trying. You know, they had good parents, and, you know, they all went to school. And some of them were a little rowdy, but, you know, overall, you know, they were accepted, this and that. But there are a lot that aren't. Just because you have one good one, this is what I don't understand. Every time you start talking about the bad, everybody, well we can't give this over here. You start talking, as soon as you say teacher, then everybody becomes all defensive. I'm a teacher, and we're all good mood, and this and this, and I do. Shut up. If you are really that good, okay, then we're not talking about you. But don't get so defensive. Obviously, I struck a nerve. Maybe I am talking about you. Yes, there are bad teachers. There are good teachers. There are bad cops. There are good cops. There's bad doctors. There are good doctors. Bad lawyers, good lawyers. Bad garbage men, good garbage men. I mean, just the way it is. There's bad people, and there's good people. So your stupid profession, I mean, how many times you get these youth pastors getting busted for raping kids? I was a kid. And it happened. Just a tiny little one-horse friggin' town. Well, I mean, it's people are people. But unless you are going to separate parent and child, you need to have a pretty damn good reason. And, you know, it should be, by a judge, it should be lawful. I mean, it should have to go through, I don't know, due process. Oh, there's those words again, due process. We don't have that anymore. If you get accused of something, you're guilty. Due process. I haven't seen this. Honey, you seen any of the due process? Yeah, you seen it? Shut up. She ain't seen it. Now go back to your Kim Kardashian show. Yeah, here's another bag of Cheetos. Go gain another 5 pounds. Nobody's seen due process. Why? Well, because we don't have it. Unless you're rich. Unless you're really, really, really corrupt, unlike the district attorney there in Texas, I guess she wasn't as corrupt as what she thought. She thought she could just call her little sheriff friend. He'd come down there and straighten it all out. All right, boys, release her. She's fine. I'll take her home. That didn't happen. She was all liquored up, driving down the road, attempted murder. God only knows, she could have run over anybody. Could have hit a car head-on. I mean, look at all the people that would have been dead. She's the kind of people that puts in corruption. She puts corruption in jail. Kind of like our former governor, that Elliot Spitzer. I never voted for him. I never liked him. What an idiot. I just thought he was, you know, he was the attorney general. He just thought he was too cool for school. Boy, he's going out there, he's busting these people, busting that people. He's doing the same thing. He's busting all these people for prostitution. He's client number 9. Keeps his socks on. I mean, how do these people, they go out there and they bust all these people, and they think that if they go out there and they bring all these people down, it's going to bring them up. Well, you know, this is what happens when it's phony. Yeah, okay, you might win a couple of steps up the ladder there and might get a little fame for a little while, but that old phrase, the higher you climb, the farther you fall. The farther you fall, well, the more bones you break. Well, this district attorney, what the hell is her name? She's kicking doors and ranting and raving, throwing fits. had to spend, I don't know how many days in jail. She got handcuffed and all this. She didn't like being restrained. She couldn't walk. I mean, there was enough evidence to convict her. So she had to pay like $4,500. And then she refuses to resign. So the governor says, well, look, you're supposed to be ahead of the corruption department, and you're corrupt. So no money. You don't have to resign, but you should, because, you know, everybody wants you to, and you need to do the right thing, and you could salvage your political career if you just went away. But now we're not going to give you any money. Why should the Texas taxpayers have to pay a corrupt politician to continue their corruption? Well, they shouldn't. And thank God for Rick Perry saying no. That's what I like about Rick Perry. He does try to fight the corruption as best he can. I do like him for that. I do like him for that. Maybe this go around, but you know, if he wants to run for president, I don't know, whatever. I just want somebody, I don't give a damn, Donald friggin' Duck. Just follow the Constitution and stay the hell out of my life. Tell your goddamn cupcake police to go away. Not interested. Don't tell me what to eat, when to eat, how to eat, what to like, who to like. You don't tell me anything. You tell me that the border is secure. Okay, well, I'm going to go down and check. And if it ain't, well, I'm going to need an explanation. You tell me that, yes, we're going to send help because our embassy is on fire and our ambassador is missing. Okay, that's fine. Now prove it. Stuff like that doesn't happen. Politician doesn't have to prove anything. Nobody has to prove anything, because if they prove anything, they come out and actually tell the truth, well, somebody's going to get exposed, and then somebody's going to have to lose their job. Somebody's going to be ostracized from their community, foreclose on their home, ruin their entire family's life. For what? So somebody can win an election. Well, that's what we got going on in Texas. We got another story going on, too. There's another one. I think it's North Carolina, the sheriff. He's on charges for, of course, the DOJ. They've got to get on that racial profiling, because he was sending people back to their illegal aliens, people that were here illegally. He was doing his job, and he has to go to court. Governor Perry was doing his job. Now he has to go to court on indictments. Aren't indictments supposed to be for people that, well, did something, you know, like illegal? Not following the Constitution, not following, you know, the rules of your state, your Constitution of your state, the rules and regulations of your job, doing your job, gets you in court. But if you don't do your job, it gets you reelected. Huh. But that seems to be the way it is. So hopefully he comes on tomorrow. His name is Randy Kretschmar, the attorney for Michelle Ryder. Now, they're still looking for people for... she's got a lot of stuff to do here. Buy a hat, buy a shirt, buy whatever. Go on Facebook to Team Isaiah, Save Isaiah. Any one of those will get you all over where you need to be. If you're one of those Twitter people, you put a hashtag in front of Team Isaiah or Save Isaiah. So hashtag Team Isaiah, hashtag Save Isaiah, and it should get you where I guess you need to get to. I'm not a Twitter fan. I got on the stupid thing. I never used it. I don't want to sit there and find out and listen to all these people tell me every move that they're making. I don't know what the hell it's all about, blah, blah, blah. I don't follow it. I don't get it. It's one of those things. I wish we didn't have the computer, but the computer is a very nice tool if it's used properly. But nothing is used properly. No technology is used properly. Everything is abused. There's a balance to everything. So what I'm going to ask him, this is where I left off. First of all, how is it legal to separate the parent and the child without an order from the court? That's what I want to find out on that. Now, number two, how is it legal for one state, and I know I asked Nancy Rubenstein's Jim Gottstein, her fiancé. Nobody really has an answer, so we need to find this stuff out. Why can't they use that as a precedent? Wait a minute, how can one state take a citizen of another state and claim that citizen as ward of their state? And why can't the other states, in this case it would be Missouri, why can't they say to Illinois, wait a minute, that's my citizen. You can't have my citizen. And what evidence do you have to support your kidnapping of my citizen? Why can't the governors get involved in doing that? Because they're involved in kidnapping kids in their own state. I guess. I don't know. But that's what I want to find out. And how we can stop the incentive-driven society that we live in. When people are only working just for the incentive, they're just working for the bonus. They're not working for the job. We found that out with the VA. Oh, just put them on this list here and put it in your drawer, and you'll get that bonus. Yeah, I hope that bonus was worth it, people. Hope it was worth it for you. These guys are out there killing for you, and you're killing them. Again, I'm sorry. I'm glad that woman came forward, spilled the beans, but I don't have any sympathy for her. She knowingly put those men on that list and put that list in her drawer. She knew what she was doing. She did not have to do that. She could have said something to somebody. She could have talked to a lawyer. She could have done something to somebody. That first day, she would just follow along, put it in there, fine. Take the list home with you. Do whatever you got to do. Go to an attorney. Go to the cops. Anybody. Say, look what I got here. We can't have this. FBI, you could have done something. You really were, you know, I mean, I'm sorry. Your job is worth it. Yeah. You need a job. Everybody needs a job. But not everybody needs to be put on a list and then be put into a drawer knowing full well that they're not going to get any help and they're going to die. There are limits. There are limits of what you have to do. You have to decide what those limits are. If you can't figure out what those limits are, then, you know, you need to stay out of the conversation. You're an idiot. All right, let's get into the scuttlebutt of the day. Ferguson, my God, it's getting worse now. And now it's getting pathetic. These people are rioting. They have no idea what has actually happened. They did have people, I was watching it last night, they did have people in the community trying to calm the crowd down, trying to keep the, you've got a number of different factions down there. You got the media hounds, your Jesse Jacksons and your Al Sharptons. They're out there trying to, you know, get their, you know, face on the news. That's what's important. It's about them. It's never about whatever the issue is. It's about them. Then you've got people that are legitimately concerned. Nobody's really reporting, but we are finding out more information now. It does look more and more like this was a clean shooting. So these people are rioting over a guy, you know, a cop attacker. Rob's a store for cigarillos. Now, I don't buy this crap because he had marijuana in his system that turned him crazy. And don't do that. If he had something else laced with it, or he had something else in his system, okay, fine. Or maybe this guy was always crazy. I don't know. I never met him. I don't know anything about him. They called him Gentle Mike. That might be, you know, like you call a fat guy slim. I don't know. But they're rioting and they're protesting the wrong case. And they always do this. Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton, I mean, if they're out there, you know that the case is not legitimate. That's how you judge it. If Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton, if they don't show up, okay, you got something legitimate. I wonder if they heard about that man in Walmart. I still haven't heard very much more on that. I've only seen a couple of stories, and that was it. That was one day news. Now, what happened with that? I don't know. I mean, we had the audio of the guy said he was swinging it around, and he said he was loading it. Well, how can you load a toy gun? Number one, playing video games where he was shot. I mean, I don't know what the hell the deal is with that, but these people are rioting over a guy that just strong-armed a store clerk, took some cigars. Guess he's going to go to grandma's house, but he's got to steal some cigarillos first. And then he's got to go attack a cop. And they're out there rioting in the streets. Meanwhile, legitimate case, well, nary a peep. Nothing. This is what I don't understand. Why is America, we're upside down. Good is bad, bad is good, black is white is black, down is up is down. What the hell, man? And now we've got Eric Holder, which, I mean, he's committing what is being described as an extraordinary effort to investigate. Well, this is a local case. This is not, why, I don't understand why the DOJ is involved in this. Why the cops didn't come out and give all the information out at the very beginning could have stopped a lot of this. I still don't get that one. Oh, we're still investigating before we come out. What, investigating what? If you're a witness to, let's say, a car accident or witness to a murder, something, you're going to have the cops are going to be wanting to know all the information. They're going to put that, you know, that heat lamp on you. Be sweating you out. But with them, nothing. You're leaving these people to speculate. Now they're all so charged up, they're thinking it was a, you know, the kid was just gunned down. Well, it looks more and more like no. There was a little bit more to it than that. But they still got people that are pissed off. Well, they've got a reason and a right to be pissed off just at the wrong, this is the wrong case. And now you put the DOJ in there, and all you're doing is solidifying these people that are rioting and people that are upset, giving them even more of a reason. Oh, yeah, he's black, Eric Holder, he's coming down to investigate. Yeah, cops, they must be guilty. I still can't help but wonder if there just isn't a lot of people out there that are desperately wanting a big, huge riot, a big, huge to-do, and thank God for the citizens of Ferguson. The rioters don't even live in Ferguson. It's not Ferguson that's destroying Ferguson. It's people from, I guess, Chicago and wherever, Brooklyn. They're the ones doing the rioting. Well, Thomas Dupree, former Deputy Assistant Attorney General, under George W. Bush, oh, automatically he's crooked. He told Fox News they're basically flooding the zone with investigators. I know. They're bringing all these investigators down there. For what? This is a local case. They know what the hell they're doing, and if they don't, well, they can get help from the state. They don't need the feds coming in here. It ain't a federal matter. Why are the feds involved? Why do the feds need to get involved in this? This is what I just don't... These are questions, man, that I don't have the answers to, and it doesn't seem right to me. I mean, if I'm finding out this new information that I'm about to try to give to you, if I could ever shut up long enough, he must know this information too. So why is he going down there? Is he trying to instigate this? Is that what they're doing? I mean, it just seems like that to me. They're doing everything they can to instigate it. Media wants it. Everybody wants it. Oh, that's riot. Well, they're not too pleased with Barack Obama. Now, I don't know how they're going to take with Eric Holder when he gets down there. I guess he comes down there tomorrow. But he's got a bunch of his goons coming down today. And they've been down there for a while. They're taking charge. We're going to get to the bottom of it. No, you are the bottom of it. Shut up. It's an extraordinary level of commitment for an incident of this nature, Dupree said. The response shows this case is something Holder is personally invested in. Yes, that's the question. Why? Well, he's coming in there to Ferguson tomorrow, so we'll find out. He's going to be meeting with the FBI, all the FBI agents, all the Justice Department personnel on the scene, as well as local community leaders. They're just going to get to the bottom of it. Maybe they'll have a beer summit. Holder has already opened a federal civil rights probe. Well, you don't even have all the information. And the information that we do have, to me, doesn't warrant a civil rights probe yet. Why do we still not have the police dash cam video yet? I don't know. They not take it? They not turn it on? I'm sure they had it. Why don't we see that? Let's get to the bottom of it. Let's come out. Let's say, hey, look, this was a clean shooting. Here it is. Here it is. You see? Now all you rioters, you go home. All you people protesting, go home. Federal investigators are conducting hundreds of interviews and turning up information the local police haven't. Like what? Conducting all these hundreds of interviews. Well, there wasn't hundreds of people that seen the... incident. So who the hell are you interviewing? And conducted an additional autopsy. What did they find? Well, we don't have that yet. Maybe they do. I don't know. I didn't read it. A top DOJ official is heading to Ferguson Tuesday, which is today. So he's a top DOJ official. I wonder what he does. Dupree voices concerns that Holder is sending up a signal to his department that there is a correct outcome. What does that mean, correct outcome? Well, that means the outcome that they want. Whatever outcome that comes is the one that they want. I still think that somebody wants a big to-do and there's nothing there to do. And now they're grabbing at straws here. Meanwhile, when we got this crap going on, now this is how it works. This is how these people are. Once they've got one stupid, silly thing that has nothing to do with anything going on over here, now they got a North Carolina sheriff, they got a Texas governor, they got this Ferguson, they got all this crap going on. You got Obama, I guess he's on vacation, then he's not on vacation, he's taking a vacation from his vacation. What are these Democrats up to right now? This is what we have to look at these people. We have to look, what the hell are they doing right now? I guarantee you it's something that ain't good. It's up to no good, whatever the hell it is. But they're doing something. This is how they get away with it. Well, they come up with crap like this. Maybe that's why Obama came here for a couple of days. Maybe he had some no good to do. You never know what the hell this guy's doing, because he never does anything. And then when he does, it's a disaster. Every policy, every move this man has made has been an abject, I mean, I don't know what the word beyond failure is. I'm trying to think of a word that goes beyond failure. But he's been flawed since the very beginning. Liberalism doesn't work. I'm sorry, but liberalism just doesn't work. We have seen the results time after time after time after time. Now we get an ultra-liberal president. We got far too many ultra-liberal judges on the Supreme Court. Far too many ultra-liberal liberals in Congress. Far too many of them in all branches of government. I mean, all levels of government. Too many liberals in society. Too many illegal aliens that are told to vote if they, this particular person, and if they don't, well, they're gonna get deported and go to jail and blah blah blah. Who knows what the hell they're telling them? I'm not accusing them of people doing that, but it wouldn't surprise me. I'm being a little facetious, and you know, but that's just the way I am. I don't want to say they've prejudged it, but the statements he's saying, I think, could lead to people to conclude that there's a right way and a wrong way to do things in the mind of the Attorney General, says Mr. Dupree. Well, that's what I was thinking. It's his way. There is a correct outcome. Yeah, they want a full on, they want a big riot. They want to use their toys. They want to take over. They want to practice run. So when they got to take over all of the cities, they know how to do it. I hate to be that so conspiratorial, but I mean, you know, sometimes you got to wonder, what the hell is our government doing? I don't understand what this government's doing. I haven't understood what this government has been doing in a long time. Maybe it's because I, you know, really wasn't paying that close of attention, but my God. And now, I mean, you know, with the internet, and you got 24/7 news, you know, left and right, up and down, side to side. The stuff's all over. It's in the friggin' air, man. You can't get away from it. So it's all around you. And the more you see, well, the more you don't want to see, but you have to see it. You have to know what the hell's going on. Well, Holder said yesterday that the full resources? Did you put any full resources in trying to get Sergeant Tamaresi out of jail? You know, and I was thinking about that this morning. I wonder if there's anybody down there in Ferguson right now that has ever even heard of Sergeant Tamaresi. If you went up there, these reporters, they go up to one of these guys setting up the Molotov cocktails, looting the liquor stores. There was even an ISIS. Honest to God, an ISIS. Somebody lifted up, it says ISIS here. And there was a reporter, I can't think of his name now, damn it. He used to be, but I think with ABC, now he's with CNN. I can't think of his name. But he's interviewing a man who used to be a cop, and now he's marching with the streets. Well, there's, you know, there's people putting signs up, and there's one joker in the back. He's holding up this big, huge sign that says ISIS here. This is what we were talking about earlier. You have all these people that don't live in Ferguson, and they're coming down, and they're rioting. They're the ones causing the trouble. And why are they doing it? Well, it's an excuse to loot. You know, you've got the Black Panthers, all these other militant groups down there. These are all Holder's friends. He loves these people. Holder loves the Black Panthers. He loves these militant groups. He loves getting them out of jail. What was that, South American, Central America, Colombia? that FLAN or FALN, whatever the hell they were. Nicaragua, I can't remember where the hell they were. They were somewhere over there. But no, these are the people that he likes. Holder likes those guys. He likes the criminals. So Black Panthers, oh, he loves them. He'll make damn sure that, you know, nobody arrests him. No, no, you're Black Panther. Well, the DOJ, we're going to handle this. We'll investigate it. We'll give it a thorough investigation. Oh, we didn't find any evidence. Nope. You're free to go, Mr. Black Panther man. I mean, this is pathetic. Is Holder out there looking? I mean, is he out there looking to prosecute this police officer? Is he out there looking to prosecute somebody? Is that what he's doing? Does the president, does he want somebody prosecuted? They find out somebody down there didn't vote for Obama? Is that what's happening? What are we doing down here? Why are they there? Why do we need this much federal intervention? That tells me there's something more than this than meets the eye. There has to be. For the Attorney General to put the full resources of the DOJ, to commit full resources of the DOJ, including more than 40 FBI agents. They've got over 40 FBI agents on the ground. My God in heaven. This is beyond overkill. 40 FBI agents. Think about that. 40 for one shooting. One cop, one perp. 40 FBI agents. 40. 40. And the Attorney General. And all, God knows how many DOJ goons he's going to bring. All funded by the taxpayer. You got to pay them. Pay me, pay me, pay me. We're going to investigate. We're going to put full resources. Holder said in a statement, I realize there is tremendous interest in the facts of the incident that led to Michael Brown's death. But I ask for the public's patience as we conduct this investigation. So what are you doing? What does that even mean? That means absolutely nothing. He's a no speaker too. He speaks up there for hours, says absolutely nothing. The selective release of sensitive information that we have seen in this case so far is troubling to me. Well, here we are. See, this is where we get into, you know, this diversion tactic. So here you've got the lawyer for the family of this kid that was shot. He's claiming the autopsy report shows that the bullet hit him in the back of the head and he had his arms up. Then you have the other report, Bodden and that other dude, saying that all the wounds came from the front, not from the back. Then you have these eyewitnesses saying, well, he was stood over him and just gunned him down. Well, that's been debunked. Why do we not have this video? I don't know, but I'm sure there's video there. So I don't know what information is troubling to the Attorney General, other than the facts might be troubling to him. Because it might have been a clean shooting, and that's troubling to him because he wants a riot. They want to take over. They want to show the world that we're in charge. They want that power. Given curfews and this and that. Look, I know there's a bunch of rioters down there, and I know you got to do something. They got a tough job. The cops right down there now, they've got a tough job. They've got a very tough job because they can't really use the tanks and the 40 millimeter machine guns. But they got to stop the looting. They got to hold. They've made some arrests. There was another shooting by a guy with a knife who was screaming, shoot me now. And he's out there. He's freaked out. God only knows. He's probably on some kind of drug. Well, they had to shoot him. That was in Kansas City. So this is what happens when you're not honest. If the cops would have just been honest at the very beginning, I'm not saying they wouldn't have rioted anyway. But we wouldn't have to wait so damn long for the information. Well, now more information is coming out. I don't know why they just can't simply make a statement. I know they did make a statement, but they didn't really say very much. Well, we're still investigating. We can't release that information. Yeah, but if I'm witness to a crime, I have to release that information. Why can't they? I mean, this doesn't even, no, this, no, what more is there to investigate? It was one, I mean, my God, you got one cop and one perp. And you got video. And I guess there was another cop somewhere by, too. I'm sure he probably had a dash cam video, too. There didn't seem to be any real witnesses other than the one that was on the video who said that this guy was charging the police. So I don't know what you're finding troubling there, Mr. Attorney General. Unless it was a clean shooting. Whatever the hell that's supposed to mean. This is a critical step in restoring trust between law enforcement and the community, not just in Ferguson, but beyond. Yeah. We all know that. So again, he didn't say anything. State Republican Senator Roy Blunt. He said that he and Missouri Democrat Senator Claire McCaskill, oh, she's a numbskull. That woman just shut up. She could shut up 100 years ago and it still wouldn't be quick enough. Well, she's going to join the Attorney General on Wednesday. Oh, I'm sure they'll have a nice lunch. Catch up on old times. And that he's been pleased with my conversations with the Attorney General and Civil Rights Division regarding their helpful understanding that they aren't taking over the investigation but are conducting a parallel review. You really believe that? You're an idiot, Mr. Blunt. They're taking over. They've already taken over. He called a parallel federal investigation into the death important, but cautioned against a DOJ taking on too large a role. Well, you're an idiot. I mean, these people, do they even listen to what they say? Do they know what they say? Do they know what's going on? Do they have eyes? Do they have ears? Do they have a tongue? I mean, what? I mean, if it is so easy for us, the little guy here, to see it right out there in front, why can't they? While the federal government can assist with that investigation, he goes on, the federal government should not assume the state and local government's responsibilities. Yeah. But you're pleased with their conversations because they've assured you they're not going to take over but a parallel review. And you believe them. You're an idiot. Well, now the Gateway Pundit can now confirm from two local St. Louis sources why it's not the source from the police, I don't know. This is still bugging me. I know you need to conduct an investigation, but you also need to let the people know what the frig happened. If it was legitimate, fine. If it wasn't, fine. We got to deal with either situation. But when you don't know what situation it really is, because you won't give out any information, oh, we gave it all to the district attorney. Well, they won't give it out. No. You give it to the American people. You give it to the citizens. They need to know what the hell happened. But now more and more information is coming out, and it does appear now, at this point, And I say at this point because, you know, we don't have all the information yet. But at this point, it does look like the cop had a legitimate reason to shoot. Me, myself, I'd like to know why they couldn't have used a taser. That's me. Maybe, I don't know, maybe he doesn't have one. Maybe his department, they don't have them. Cutbacks, sequester, they had to take them all away. I don't know. But it just seems to me that, you know, why can't you use a taser? It was what it was, what it was, what it was. Maybe the guy shouldn't have been stealing cigarillos and chasing after cops. So there's a lot of factors going on here. I mean, black people have had a lot of people, you know, a lot of their, you know, their kind, I guess. I hate to say that, but to progress the conversation. Attacked by cops, okay. So now every time they see one of their peeps get attacked by a cop, it is automatically it's a cop, you know, killing white cop killing a black kid. Now, the problem is when you have, you don't know what is what, you're getting these people that are all riled up, rioting in the streets, looting, burning buildings. God only knows what the hell they're going to do tonight. Over a case that they shouldn't be that upset over. Meanwhile, you've got other cases out there where they should really be upset, and nobody's there. Nobody's there. You know, Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, nobody. But the Gateway Pundit says they now can confirm from two local St. Louis sources that police officer Darren Wilson suffered facial fractures during his confrontation with Michael Brown. Officer Wilson clearly feared for his life during the incident that led to the shooting death of Mr. Brown. Local St. Louis sources said Wilson suffered an orbital blowout fracture to the eye socket. Now, I'm going to get to what that orbital blowout fracture is. Orbital blowout. Imagine being drunk trying to say that 10 times. Good God, I'm sober and I can't even say it once. Orbital. Ah, there I did it. This comes from a source within the prosecuting attorney's office and confirmed by the St. Louis County Police. Why don't they just come out and give a statement? Why are they hiding? Why do they have to hide this? I don't understand. We got to get all these, you know, deep throat freaking sources. We got the, you know, the Josie, the family friend. She's on a local radio station. I mean, this is ridiculous. I mean, this is a bad job all the way around, and now we got the goddamn attorney general down there with all of his goons. They got over 40 FBI agents down there. Oh, they're really going to screw things up now. I mean, my God. All they had to do was come out and just say what the frig happened, and look at this mess. It's a mess. And they're all guilty, everybody down there. Everybody down there shares a little bit of guilt. All the headline readers down there, they have no idea. They probably don't. I guess I guarantee you those guys that are burning the buildings as looters, they have no idea what the hell this guy's name is. They're just looking to get a bunch of free stuff. Why not? Raise some hell. Whitey. Yeah. Way to attack Whitey. Kill them cracker babies. A blowout fracture is a fracture of one or more of the bones surrounding the eye and is commonly referred to as an orbital floor fracture. I guess because if you get hit there hard enough, you're going to be on the floor. Well, this guy, you know, could handle a punch. Looks like he got punched in the eye. This comes after a St. Louis Post-Dispatch reporter tweeted that a dozen local witnesses confirmed Ferguson police officer Darren Wilson's version of the Brown shooting story. But I have to ask, now we've got all of a sudden, now we've got over 12 12 witnesses now that are coming out and saying that Darren Wilson's version of the story was correct, which we still don't have all of it yet. I guess we got most of it now. There was a struggle, and he got punched in the eye, and there was a shot that went off. I guess it didn't hit him. Chase after him. The guy turned around, said something, "You're not going to arrest me," and charged back. That's when he got shot. But how do we know now these tweets are accurate? All these witnesses. We've heard all these other witnesses. Now we're supposed to believe this. And this is what I'm talking about. They like to do this, a diversion tactic. Just get you all riled up over nothing. When they know the damn truth, but they're just not going to give it to you. I still think somebody somewhere, and they want the tumult. They want the craziness. They want the rioting. They want this. This is what they want. See, look what happens when you give guns. This is what happens. The Tea Party. Well, these people ain't the Tea Party. From the Washington Post, Ferguson protesters, the peaceful, the elders, the looters, and the militants. And now, the politicians. This is what happens when you put a politician in charge of anything. It's screwed. The military should run the military. And that's the way it is. The school should run the schools. Cafeteria should run the cafeteria. Let the cafeteria run the damn cafeteria. Yes, we understand that you can't serve rancid meat and you can't serve this. And there's certain things that, you know, I can understand certain foods that have got certain calories that can help the kids think better. I can understand a little bit of that. But when you're giving these kids a slop, and not very much of it, because the only thing you're doing is counting stupid calories. Well, there's more to food than calories. A little bit more to it than just calories. Stay the hell out of it. On one corner of the battered stretch of West Florissant, the epicenter of ongoing protests, young men pulled dark scarves up over their mouths and lobbed Molotov cocktails at the police. From behind makeshift barricades built of bricks and wooden planks. They call the Molotov cocktails that they make a poor man's bomb. Nice. A poor man's bomb. These are the people that are down there. And the DOJ wants to investigate not the militant groups that are down there causing all the hullabaloo. He wants to investigate the police. Not the Black Panthers that are riling up the people. Not all the other militant groups that are down there. They're chanting his name, Darren Wilson. How do we want him? Dead. How do we want him? Dead. These are the people that are down there. And our Attorney General wants to investigate the police. Unbelievable. Well, no, it isn't. Hate to say it, but anymore, it is believable. It's happened too many times with these people that, no, it is believable. The young men yell expletives, and with a rebel's bravado, speak about securing justice for Michael Brown by any means necessary. These guys that are out there, they're out there for war. They want a battle. They want to go to war. Why? I don't know. I don't know. They are known here as the Militants, a faction inhabiting the hardcore end of a spectrum that includes online organizers. Uh-oh. They probably got a Facebook account. They send out tweets. They got a spectrum that includes online organizers and opportunistic looters. And their numbers have been growing with the severity of their tactics since the shooting began. Some of the men are from the area. Most, however, have arrived by bus. They're coming in by bus. They're all taking a bus. I bet that's a nice bus ride. Coming in by bus and by car from Chicago, Detroit, Brooklyn, they're coming from all over. Well, I can understand people from Detroit coming over to Lube because there's nothing left in Detroit. All the buildings are destroyed. There's no business. There's nothing. Detroit is it's the Badlands. There's nothing there anymore. There's nothing to loot. Chicago, well, I mean, I guess they don't have enough violence in Chicago. Let's go to Missouri and Brooklyn. Why in the hell do you need to come from Brooklyn over to Kansas City, Missouri to go loot? They won't give their names. Well, of course they won't. But their leaders say they are ready to fight, some with guns in their hands. This is not the time for no peace, said one man. He came from Chicago. There is not time for no peace. Attorney General, you want to investigate something? Why don't you investigate these militant groups that are down here? Investigate who is funding these people to come in from Chicago and Detroit and Brooklyn and God only knows where they're coming from. Why don't you investigate that? Instead of investigating the cops, which, you know, they've got plenty of people, you know, Kansas City and the state, they've got people that, you know, they know what they're doing. They can get that done. They don't need you. But you don't want to do that. You don't want to investigate, you know, all these militant groups because those are your friends. You want to protect them. So you're looking for a reason to legitimize the looting. Well, this man spoke after a small group of fellow militants who evidently held a meeting behind a looted store. There's nothing left of it. Imagine that, being a store owner, and you come to work the next day, and there's nothing there. Come to open it up, and there's, what the hell? Well, they're sketching out their ambitions for the days ahead, meaning they're not going away. They're not going to go away. So they're probably down there tonight. God only knows what they're doing down there. They got 24/7 news crews down there. But Shepard Smith, with his stupid little his little specials, breaking in, got to get an hour coverage of this crap. You know what? Yeah, we know what's going on. We don't need 24/7 cameras down there watching this for, you know, hours on end. These people know they're on TV. So some of them, they're probably out there, hi, Mom. There goes a Molotov cocktail or a poor man's bomb, as the in crowd would say, the hip the hip lingo. We are jobless men, and this is our job now, getting justice. That was a young man from Chicago who said this. If it means violence, then that's okay by me. They've been doing this to us for years, and now they're going to get back to every white person that ever wronged a black person. They're going to end it all in Ferguson, Missouri. Police on the streets Monday night said some of those wearing red bandanas are members of the Bloods gang. So I guess they're from, like, California? Well, I know Bloods are all over, but I knew a Blood in the Navy and a Crypt, and they didn't get along with each other. They don't, those groups didn't, they didn't, you couldn't, I guess they were war. But I knew a Blood. There is a group of peaceful protesters that congregates around the Quick Trip. That's a little convenience store. That had been looted and burned to the ground. Others gather near the Ferguson police station. Others use Twitter to organize demonstrations. So they call out all their goons. People have been tweeting, "We are ready to die tonight." Imagine that. This is what's going on down there. That was said by Mary Pat Hector. That's a woman. That's a woman who said, "We are ready to die tonight." She's a national youth organizer with Reverend Al Sharpton's National Action Network. Uh-oh. She says, "We are ready to die tonight. It's a trending topic." Oh, that just doesn't seem like a topic of discussion I'd like to talk about. Yeah, I want to die tonight. That's a great discussion. Let's talk about that. No. I want to live tonight. That's the conversation I want to have. DeAndre Smith, just fresh from looting the Quick Trip, he told reporters, "I'm proud of us." He just gets done looting a Quick Trip. I don't know what he stole. Probably cigarillos. Probably a bag of Cheetos. I don't know. Malt liquor, who knows? "We deserve this," he says. This is DeAndre Smith. I guess he's not afraid to give his name. "We deserve this," he says. And this is what's supposed to happen when there's injustice in your community. St. Louis, not going to take this anymore. Huh? Maybe you should stop reading the headlines, kid, and start reading actually what happened and realize that your little friend there was not quite the, you know, the unarmed African-American teenager, Gentle Mike. Wasn't so gentle. This was a chance to vent about national treatment of black men across the country, said Ronnie Natch. She's a music producer and a leader of the peaceful protesters. This is a chance to vent about the national treatment of black men across the country. Well, I guess Ronnie's a he. Sorry, Ronnie. Natch is 30 years old. Well, we got to get the age in there. That's important. Natch is 30 years old and has a 10-month-old baby. Now, Natch was Ronnie Natch. So I was right. Ronnie Natch was a she. His wife gives out water and fruit to protesters from their base at the burned-out Quick Trip. "We want to show up at the front door every day and say through words, this shooting is not going to be swept under the rug. There have been too many deaths. Well, yeah, there's been too many deaths. There's been too many crimes. There's been too many a lot of things. Now to add more headline intelligence into the mix, the Washington Redskins last night, they run out onto the field before the game with their hands up for Michael Brown. You know, that's the latest thing now. You raise your hands up. So they're running out on the field to show their support. I guess football players, I guess they don't have time to read the article. They can only read just the headline. They got to get back to practice. Well, the Washington Redskins, you're going to suck this year again anyway, so. Following Washington's win against Cleveland, and speaking of, you know, raising your hands, well, Cleveland's quarterback, Johnny Football, Johnny Manziel, well, he flipped off the Washington Redskins bench. I don't know, they were taunting him, I don't know. He was having a bad night. So he flips him off on live television. Well, now he's going to get fined, this and that, whatever. But following Washington's win against Cleveland, WNEW learned the idea for the gesture came from safety Brandon Merriweather and cornerback D'Angelo Hall. We just wanted to show our supporters what's going on in St. Louis, Merriweather said. We just wanted to show support. How are you showing support? Are you showing support of the rioters? What are you showing support for? Maybe you should read an article once in a while instead of the damn headlines. It does appear more and more. This kid was not surrendering. He was charging the officer. He already attacked him once. Banged up his orbital, whatever the hell they called it. Swelled up his face. An orbital fracture. Orbital blowout. It was a blowout. I guess it blew the bones out of his head. I don't know. He got punched in the eye. I'm sure he's got a swollen black eye. I'm sure it's probably still swollen. Is that what you're showing support for, guys? Somebody in the Washington Redskins organization, you know, might have found out about it saying, come on. We don't need to do that. We don't need to do that, people. We don't need sports teams showing all this support. Now, they're showing support for this guy. So now, automatically, because the cops wouldn't come out and say what the hell happened, now they're all looking, you know, they're all looking bad. Well, the unarmed African-American teenager, now they're bringing all race into it. It's all about race. Now, so while the white man he's the boogeyman. White man is the boogeyman. No, the government is the boogeyman. And you people are buying into it. You're voting for it. You can't get enough of it. Well, Mr. Merriweather continues, that could have been any of us. No, that was said by Ryan Clark. That could have been any of us, really? Does everybody on the Washington Redskins steal cigarettes or cigarellos and charge after cops and punch them in the face? Does everybody on the Washington Redskins do that, Ryan Clark? So what do you mean that could have been any of us? Oh, that's right, you're black. And he was black. And if you got a white cop, automatically the white cop just can't wait to shoot that black kid. Because all white people, we all have to kill black people. It's in our, you know, our white man handbook, page one. It's like the jihadis, they got to kill the infidel. Well, the white man, we got to kill the black man. That could have been any of our brothers, our cousins. When you get an opportunity to make a statement and be more than a football player, it's good. Well, it can be. But what you're making, what your statement, sir, is bad because, one, you don't know the facts. And what statement are you making? Who are you supporting? Are you saying the cops, you know, gunned this kid down? He was surrendering? Without knowing all the facts? Looks like there are no facts that actually support it, but... All right, let's get into my treasure chest here tonight here. I know we got a couple of stories. I want to find this out here now, this North Carolina sheriff. Name is Terry Johnson. Well, he's on trial now for racial profiling. Well, there was a North Carolina public radio. There's a show on there, and Steve Inskeep is his name. Steve Inskeep. Well, there's a whole bunch of people. It's a transcript, it's kind of a combination of a transcript and this and that and everything else. So we're going to do the best we can to get through it tonight here. But he's a local sheriff in North Carolina who is now on trial for racial profiling. The Federal Justice Department, our DOJ, says that Sheriff Terry Johnson violated the constitutional rights of Hispanic citizens and legal residents. Hispanic citizens, they're not citizens. These are illegal aliens. I see. So if you arrest somebody that's not white, black or Hispanic or Asian or whatever, if you arrest one of them because they committed a crime, well, you're actually harming all the black people, all the Hispanics people. You're arresting them. Is that what's going on here? You're violating their constitutional rights. You arrest a black man and all black people's constitutional rights are violated. Huh. I see where you're going with that, with a philosophical view, but this is a legal view. Why is the Federal Justice Department down there involved in this? I don't know. Well, I do know. He's accused of detaining and arresting people without probable cause. Gee, the government's never done that before. They should be giving this guy a medal if he's doing that. Including at traffic stops. Johnson's attorney say these charges are baseless. Now, they got a woman here, Jessica Jones. She's on there. She reports that this name Cuvez, she is some kind of this Cuvez. I took some of that out, but she's like an attorney or she's on, you know, she's one of those. She's in the in crowd. She says she's attending the trial because she feared the traffic stops at Johnson's department set up in the county where she lives. Now, so this woman here, she spoke in Spanish. That's what it was. This was a Spanish-speaking woman. Now I'll get it straight. She was speaking in Spanish. I guess she can't speak English. But she's at the trial because she feared that the traffic stops that Johnson's department set up in the county where she lives. She knows people who were picked up for minor offenses and sent back to Mexico. Well, okay, that's not a crime. These cops are doing their job. If you're here illegally, now if we were here illegal in Mexico, well, we wouldn't be sent back. We'd have to go to jail. Ask Sergeant Tamaresi. Did he get sent back? No. He's still in jail. We send you people back. We're humane. You people are not. So I don't want to hear any goddamn criticism out of you there, Sue Basis, or whatever the hell your stupid name is. Until 2012, the Sheriff's Department participated in a federal program called 287G. That's the name of the program. That allowed local deputies to begin deportation proceedings. Mm. Latino advocate Blanca Ninehouse, whatever, thinks that Johnson did unfairly target the community. Why? Because he
took people off the streets that weren't supposed to be on the streets. Sent them back to their home where they belong. Because we need a secure border. She's glad the Department of Justice is prosecuting him. She's glad. She's happy that this man is now going to be prosecuted. God only knows. This man has to spend time in jail, prison, for doing his job. Rick Perry faces 109 years. 109 years. Well, turns out this judge that indicted him, I guess she's a big, fat, stinking liberal, boy. I mean, she is. You can't get any more liberal than her. So we'll find out. We got that story in here somewhere. If we can't get to it tonight, we'll get to it tomorrow. But obviously, it's political. So obviously, the judge is going to be very liberal. Hello? If you had a real judge in there, they would read it and go, this is stupid. Get this the hell out of my courtroom. You ever bring another one of these cases into my courtroom again, I'm going to have you disbarred. That happened now. Well, Jessica Jones says, Ninehouse was among those who urged federal agents to investigate the sheriff's department. So now all it takes is somebody, hey, go investigate. Go investigate. Well, how about if I went to the cops and I said, go investigate you? Why don't we start doing this crap? That's all it takes. You just accuse somebody of something and then call up a cop and say, go investigate them. Well, now the cops got to investigate it. Well, got to investigate it. They can find anything they want. They got to get that sergeant stripe. They got to get that bonus. She adds that advocates in other states have been concerned about similar situations in their own backyards. Grace Meng, she is a senior researcher for the Human Rights Watch. She says, what's happening in this county, Alamance, I guess is how you pronounce it, Alamance County. I guess, I don't know. What's happening in Alamance County is not a fluke. It's very easy for a law enforcement agency that wants to engage in racial profiling to do so in collaboration with federal immigration enforcement program. Meng says program like 287G and a newer one that was called Secure Communities, have encouraged some police and sheriff deputies across the county to target immigrants. Well, no. They're not targeting immigrants. They're targeting illegal immigrants. Hello? But see, they don't use the word illegal. They just use the word immigrants. So it makes it sound like, oh, these poor people that came over here, went through all the process, they came over here, now they're being targeted. No, no, no. She says that that includes Arizona, where last year a federal judge found Maricopa County Sheriff Joe Apario. You know who he is. Found him guilty of racial profiling in a civil trial. Of course, he was doing his job too. Don't you people understand that these people coming over here, these illegal immigrants, don't you understand those are Democratic voters? Those are off limits. Come on, cops. Come on, you leave them alone. They are here to be turned into Democratic voters. You leave them alone. So they got a little crime here and there. All right. Hey, boys will be boys. What are you going to do? Hey, what are you, I mean, come on. As long as they, you know, they show up to the voting booth on time, you know, everything is going to be fine. Well, it looks like Texas Governor Rick Perry is planning on turning himself in tonight. 6 o'clock Eastern time, which is probably right around the same time that we came on the air tonight. So who knows what the hell happened. Well, he's expected to be processed very quickly and to leave. He's not subject to an arrest warrant. for this grand jury in Austin, a liberal bastion in otherwise largely conservative Texas, indicted Governor Perry on Friday for carrying out a threat to veto. This is it. Carrying out a threat to veto. Now, haven't you ever heard the president say, you bring that to my desk and I'm going to veto it? All presidents say that. Don't bring that crap to my desk. I'm going to veto it. They have the right to threaten veto. If you have veto power, you have the right to threaten veto power. Just the way it is. Now, if you want to take away that power, well, then rewrite your damn Constitution. But governors have the right to veto. Presidents have the right to veto. They have the right to veto. You have the right to veto in your Constitution. You have the right to do it. Then you can do it. It's not against the law. This is not a legitimate indictment. There is no law that is precedent here. There is no law. You didn't break a law for doing your job. If you have a right to do it and you do it, you should not be prosecuted for it. The judge who allowed this indictment, this grand jury to go through, that's the person that needs to be prosecuted. That's the corrupt person right there. That judge right there. That's where your corruption is right there. Whoever that judge is, that's the one that needs to be prosecuted. Along with that stupid Rosemary Lemberg, that's her name. She ran this integrity unit, which we've all seen the videos. We don't see any integrity in this woman. Oh, did you call Steve or whatever his name was? Did you call him? Evidently, that's the sheriff. Tried to get somebody else to come in there to bail her out. Well, no one would. She thought she can get her little political friends to come down there and straighten out them cops. How dare you put the cops? Do you know who she is? She is a Travis County District Attorney. She's in charge of the Public Integrity Unit. You don't put handcuffs on her. Now you take them off right now. There's not going to be any charges. Well, that didn't happen, did it there, Rosemary? Big fat liberal, that's what you are, Rosemary. These people think they can get away with anything. Because they're a Democrat, because they're an attorney, because they're a this, because they're a that. Oh, you have special privileges. Oh, you're a district attorney. Oh, so you can go out and drink and drive, but I can't. Oh, okay, I get the rules now there, Rosemary. You booze hound. And refuses to resign. Hey, I don't blame him. I would have vetoed it too. $7.5 million. $7.5 million of Texas money going to this woman, Rosemary Lemberg, to run the Public Integrity Unit. Well, you would think that somebody is running a so-called public integrity unit would have integrity, right? Wouldn't you have integrity? I don't know. I'm just, you know, throwing that against the wall, see if it sticks. The ethics unit is housed under her office. So not only public integrity, but ethics. The judge overseeing the case, Republican Bert Richardson, decided against issuing an arrest warrant and instead granted a simple legal summons. No one disputes that this is what drives me nuts. No one disputes that Perry has the power to veto measures approved by the legislature. But his threat to do so before actually carrying it out prompted a complaint from the left-leaning watchdog group. Now, this is what I was talking about earlier. This doesn't make any sense. If you have veto power, you have the right to threaten. How many times have you heard Barack Obama? Don't you go bringing me up none of that Republican mumbo-jumbo, because I'm going to veto it there. You understand there, Mr. Boehner? Every single president that I can remember has all said, don't bring that crap to my desk. I'm going to veto it. all presidents threaten veto. Bill Clinton, Nixon, Reagan, Carter, Bush, both of them. They all did it. George Washington did it. They all do it. Don't bring me that crap. I'm going to veto it. That's their, they have the right to do so. So how can these people come out here and say that no one disputes the fact that he has the power to do so, but the fact that he threatened to do so because he has the power to threaten, he has the power to do it because he threatened it. Well, now that and all, that's against the law. What law? Show me in the law book where that says that's against the law. You show me that law. I want to see it. What law book is it? Oh, you don't have one. The grand jury met for months before handing down his its indictment. Months? Why would you need a grand jury to meet for months? This is a nothing burger. And Perry's $450 per hour defense attorney, David L. Bodsford, is being paid by using state funds. So the state of Texas now has to pay for this guy, $450 an hour. Wow. Aides said that the case wouldn't prevent Perry from maintaining his packed upcoming schedule, which includes visit to the key presidential battleground states of Iowa, New Hampshire, and South Carolina in the next 2 weeks. Looks like he is running for president. Well, I wouldn't back down if I was him. And I'd fight this all the way. He doesn't have a case, and he's got to fight it. Sarah Palin couldn't really fight all of the lawsuits. They inundated her with hundreds of these stupid lawsuits. She had no choice. Well, that's all it's going to take. Why don't we do that to them? Let's do that to Harry Reid. There's a lot of real lawsuits we could do on Harry Reid, Nancy Pelosi. Pick a Democrat. Pick a Democrat, any Democrat. Come on. Pick anybody. You pick any human being, you can indict them on all kinds of stuff. You want to beat them? You beat them in the voting booth. That's how it's done. You give me a reason to vote for you, and I'll vote for you. You don't give me a reason to vote for you, other than you've got a D or an R behind your name. That's not a reason. That's not a reason. You got to give me a reason. If I'm going to go into that voting booth, I'm going to take time out of my busy day to vote for you, to lead me. You better give me a damn reason, and it better be good. And you better follow through with it. Well, Perry also has a Thursday speech on immigration at the Heritage Foundation in Washington. And his arraignment has been set for Friday morning, though a representative says that Governor Perry will not attend. And I wouldn't attend it either. It's bogus. Arraignment. I mean, what is this? They're going to actually go do a trial? They're going to actually do a trial over this. For threatening a veto that anybody with veto power always doesn't. This is ridiculous. Well, now it looks like there was a heavy barrage of rockets fired again in Tel Aviv. Yeah, so much for these ceasefires. But yeah, they work out real well, don't they? Well, they work out well until they reload. The only time they want a ceasefire is when they're out of ammunition or when they're losing. Oh, you're picking on me. Oh, we're picking on you. Oh, well, Hamas said it fired over 40 rockets in Israel tonight. Those that weren't intercepted landed in open areas. That Iron Dome, it works, man. That Iron Dome works. Just think, if Israel did not have that Iron Dome with all of the thousands of rockets that have been shot into Israel. Just think what Israel would look like today if it wasn't for that Iron Dome. Now, what happens when that Iron Dome, parts of it breaks down and they can't get to it to fix it? Then what? Well, could be a mess. But who does our government help? Well, they're certainly not helping out Israel. They're stopping Israel from, well, you have the right to defend yourself, but just don't. Huh? That doesn't even make any sense. Conversation between the president and Netanyahu should have been like this. Mr. Netanyahu, yeah. Ah, you're making ground on Hamas. Well, what do you need from us? Huh? You need bullets? You need guns? You need planes? What do you need? You need some bombs? Let's take out one. This world right now has an opportunity to take out at least one terrorist organization. You can wipe them out. And we could have got, I know there's a whole bunch of them. We can't win them all at once. But we can win one at a time. There are some Palestinians that they don't want Hamas, but they're being, well, they are basically being held captive from Hamas. Now, some of these Palestinians, they, you know, they're brought up, they hate the Jew, and they're going to join Hamas and blah, 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 blah. But there are some that do want to have peace. But we don't get to hear about them. We don't get to see them. And if Hamas finds out that they want peace with a Jew, well, they are no more. And yes, Hamas does kill Palestinians. Palestinians are being, they are, well, they're being captive. Anybody under tyranny rule is being held captive. But we have an opportunity, the world has an opportunity to wipe these people out. And everybody wants to jump on the Hamas bandwagon. I don't get this infatuation with jihad at all. I mean, the videos that I've seen, I mean, cutting heads off and twisting them, and you're hearing about stories of, you know, little kids getting cut in half. Seen the pictures of little girls with their heads cut off. I mean, what the hell? You don't, I mean, come on. This is not something to glorify. This is not something that you can support. Well, Hamas is no different. They're all the same. Okay, fine. ISIS is a little more rowdier than Al-Qaeda and Hamas. But they still have the same goal. It's the same goal. The same end result. They want jihad. They want to kill the infidel. They want Sharia. This is jihad. Jihad is real. Jihad is now. It is. It's on. It's in. It's in America. It's here. It's now. It's live. It's a real war. It is tangible. You can actually reach out and touch it. The latest ceasefire that was set to expire midnight was broken some 8 hours earlier. Well, of course. They got all their weapons loaded, got all the ammunition packed. They're ready to go. Why should we wait 8 hours when we can just start bombing them now? The IDF responded by hitting different targets in the Gaza Strip. Even before the rocket fire, the Associated Press quoted Hamas spokesman, which I don't quote terrorist names. We're going to call him Fuzzy. He had a name, had an F, and there was a W and a Z and an I and crap in there. So it looked like Fuzzy from a distance. So we're going to call this spokesman Fuzzy. He hinted, Fuzzy, of more rocket fire, saying if Netanyahu doesn't understand the language of politics in Cairo, we know how to make him understand. What are you going to do? Going to cut his head off? I'm sure you would. The rocket attack came hours before a ceasefire was expected to be signed in Cairo. But in wake of the attack, Israel decided to recall its delegation, which was still in Egypt, holding indirect talks with Hamas when rockets began to fall, which means there is no point in this conversation anymore. We got to get back to going to war. The move seems to indicate that the attempts at reaching a deal have collapsed. Really? Of course they collapse. Look, the war's not going to end until they end, until they are no more. They're not going to stop. And if they do, okay, great. I applaud them. I support them. But does anybody have any evidence anywhere that would even remotely suggest that they have any indication whatsoever of stopping? No. They're not going to stop. You got IS now. They're terrorizing Syria and Iraq, and they're moving west. Saudi Arabia, you think you're not next? Think again. Well, if they do attack Saudi Arabia, I'm pretty sure Saudi Arabia and Egypt and the rest of their coalition are going to get together, and ISIS will be no more. Maybe that's what needs to happen. I hope something like that does happen. These people need to be taken out. And it's all over the world. It's not just in the Middle East anymore. This stuff is everywhere. The United States, Europe, all over Europe, Australia, Canada, Africa, Asia, even in Russia. These people are everywhere. And until we put an end to them, well, they're going to be everywhere. You want to be a Muslim? I don't care. Fine. Be a Muslim. But you want that jihad crap? No. I'm sorry, but the world does not tolerate jihad. We won't tolerate it anymore, and you got to go. Sorry, kid, but jihad is no more. Palestinians, however, they claim that the IDF, they're the ones who started it. Really? They just shot up their Iron Dome for no reason. All right. I mean, I can see how that is. I mean, Israel would do something like that. We are prepared for every scenario. The IDF has made arrangements for a forceful response if the fighting resumes. In the Middle East, you need a combination of force and resilience. The IDF has a necessary force, and the internal people have proved they are not afraid of a winding road. That was said by Netanyahu. He emphasized the combination of perseverance and fortitude will help us reach the aim of the operation, security and safety for all Israelis. You know, when you hear this guy speak, it's like, you know what? How come our president doesn't say stuff like this? Why doesn't our president come out and say stuff like that? Why doesn't our president, when our embassies are attacked, why doesn't he send help and go find out the people that did it? Well, we got one. Probably wasn't even there. Maybe he was, maybe he wasn't. But why weren't we there that night? I mean, Netanyahu sounds like a real president. He cares about his country. He works for his country. His country comes first. He comes second. Obama? Obama comes first. Golf comes first. Private concerts from Jay-Z and Beyonce, they come first. Cheeseburgers and ice cream cones, mom jeans, they come first. The country? Ah! Well, that's about all we have tonight. I want to thank everybody listening tonight, everybody on their smartphones, everybody's going to download later. It's been a pleasure, and make sure you tune in tomorrow night. We get Randy Kretschmar. Hopefully he comes in tomorrow night. He is the lawyer for Michelle Ryder, trying to get her son back, Isaiah Ryder, who's kidnapped by the DCF. I can't leave these kids alone, man. You know, I am done. I am flat out sick and tired of this crap. And we allow it to happen. We're getting a few people woken up, but we're going to need a few more, a lot more. We can win this fight. We can win it. I'm confident we can win it, but we got to fight it before we can win it. You can't win a war if you don't fight the battles. So I want to thank everybody listening tonight. If you like the show, tell your friends. Tell your neighbors. Tell your enemies. Tell them to join the fun. We'll see you back here tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Goodbye, everybody.